the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for the next few minutes to talk about some comments that have gotten the COO of Chick-fil-A, that fast food restaurant, in some hot water for some reason. Most of the time when a COO or CEO makes the news as the target of public criticism, he's been misspending money. He has been taking an outrageous and obscene salary. Maybe he has been insensitive to his workers, laying them off or something like that. What is it that has gotten the COO of Chick-fil-A in such hot water? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me, Todd.
Most of the time we read about COOs or CEOs being criticized for their spending or for laying people off or for their salaries. Dan Cathy, president of Chick-fil-A, why is he being criticized?
Well, he's being criticized for his support for traditional marriage. He gave an extensive interview to the Baptist Press, and he talked about his company and about how they support marriage and how he and all his staff are still married to their first wives. And somewhere along the line, it became clear that he only meant marriage between a man and a woman. And so he's getting criticized because he has failed to jump on the same-sex marriage bandwagon and join the herd of independent minds all rushing off the gay marriage cliff. So that's why he's getting yelled at.
What exactly are his critics saying about him? What are they accusing him of?
I don't look too closely at what those guys say in detail. You know, I mean, I'm sure they're saying that he's not inclusive and that he's not diverse and that he's mean. And, you know, I don't know what they... Todd, life's too short. I don't read their stuff. Unless I absolutely have to.
So what does this say to you, that a CEO or a leader of a company who is simply saying, look, we're a family company, and the traditional family is valuable to us, and we're not going to back down from that position, finds himself at the heart of a controversy?
Well, I mean, what it tells you is I think that the movement to redefine marriage, above all, I think, is a movement that is seeking social approval for homosexual activity and for homosexual relationships. You know, what they want to say is that a sexual relationship between two men should be treated socially and legally as the equivalent of the sexual relationship between a man and a woman. That's what they want to say. Or a relationship between two women should be treated the same as a union of a man and a woman. And that's what they want to say. They it seems to me, are looking for affirmation, because the practical problems that same-sex couples might face have pretty much all been solved or can easily be solved. But that isn't enough for this group of people. It has never been enough for this group of people. They want everybody to say it's the same. They want everybody to say that their behavior is the equivalent of traditional man-woman marriage. And they cannot allow these pockets of resistance by somebody like Dan Cathy or the Catholic Church to go unpunished. And that's really what it's about, I think. I think they're about trying to punish their enemies in the hope that people will back down and do what they want.
Another story that I wanted to ask you about was, and this is kind of a long story. I remember this dating back to, well, this is at least 20 years this story has been in the making. The Boy Scouts, and they're holding, for now, they're holding their policy of excluding gays as members and as leaders. What do you think of this?
Well, I think, you know, again, this it's another example of the same thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, if gay men want to work with youth, they should form their own clubs saying Gay Boy Scouts, and any people who want their children to go to a Gay Boy Scout troop can go to the Gay Boy Scout troop. And, you know, you're saying gay youth are invited, gay men are going to be the leaders of these Boy Scout troops, and anybody who wants to participate can participate, and they should start their own organization and see who comes, and run, have a competing organization with the Boy Scouts. But they don't do that, okay? So what they're looking for is that this established, venerable institution of the Boy Scouts needs to approve of them. That's what they're looking for. They're not really looking for the activity itself of, you know, of men trying to mentor boys to live better lives and so on and so forth, because they could easily do that on their own and give full notice as to who they were and what they were doing. I don't know how many parents would be interested in participating in that, but that's, if that were the issue, that's what they do. What they're looking for is the moral authority of the Boy Scouts, the moral reputation of the Boy Scouts, to be to endorse them, and to be to be in their side, to be on their side, and to give them some kind of social and moral approval. And to me, that's what you do when you're insecure. That's not what you do because you're sure of yourself and because you believe that your position is correct and all the other things that they seem to want us to believe. That's what you do when you're not sure of yourself. That's what you do when you want affirmation. And so the idea that that if they just keep harassing the Boy Scouts are going to change their position. I think it's very admirable that the Boy Scouts have consistently taken the position that they take. And I think they're interested in, you know, they're not interested in allowing their organization to be sexualized. And so that's what they're, that's why they've kept this policy.
Does it also say to you, I think in both of these stories, where they may come together, that there is no institution that will be exempted if it falls with between their crosshairs from the gay rights agenda?
I think that's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. This movement, I don't like to, you know me, Todd. I've been on your program a lot for a long time, and you know that I don't speak in hyperbole or exaggerate. But this movement is a totalitarian movement, okay? Because what they want is to control every institution in society. They want every institution in society, every mind in society, to conform to their view of what's right. This is not a live and let live kind of a movement at all. If it ever was, it isn't anymore. This is a movement that has an idea of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. They have an idea of human sexuality and its place in our lives. They have a set of ideas, and their ideas are diametrically opposed to the Christian idea, and one set of ideas is going to drive out the other. And I think a lot of people have thought, well, you know, we can live and let live. We can come up with some kind of compromise, you know, where they do their thing, we do our thing. But it's quite clear now that this group of people is not going to be satisfied with any such compromise. They're not going to let it go until their idea has replaced the traditional ancient teachings of the church on all of these matters. That they're not going to stop until one idea completely drives out the other. So I just think people need to see this for what it is and decide which side you're going to be on, you know, because I think the possibility of straddling or being in the middle or compromising, those possibilities are all being taken off the table. And they're being taken off the table by the radical gay agenda. You know, it's not that the churches are aggressively, you know, doing things to be mean to gay people. People are just doing what they've always been doing. So anyway, yeah.
I wonder, you often speak in more general terms about the lifestyle left or the sexual revolution.
Yes.
And I imagine that there are people in that movement who are a little bit surprised to find out that their movement that has been chugging away for the last 40 years, in the United States in particular, has been pretty much hijacked by the homosexual agenda. I imagine there are.
I don't know. I imagine there are some people who 20 years ago thought it would all these things would be a good thing, and now it's turning out that they're not so great. I think there were people in 1973 who thought that when abortion was legalized, it would only affect people who had been raped or victims of incest. I think there were people who thought that. But you can't continue to think that. That's the point. Truly, all of these movements are of a piece. And so the question is, at what point are you going to sort of kind of step back from the brink and say, wait a second, I participated in different parts of the sexual revolution. I used contraception, or I had an abortion, or I've been divorced, or, whatever your particular circumstance might be, or I had premarital sex. My goodness, almost everybody of a certain generation has participated in some way or another. And so you have to step back from it and say, I thought it was a good idea when I was in my 20s. Do I really want to continue to endorse this, given that these ideas, as they have moved along, have become more and more corrosive and more radical and more demanding that traditional morality be completely replaced? Do I really want to be involved with this? And, periodically, Todd, I get emails and letters and Facebook posts and things from people who identify themselves as gay or lesbian, who say, I don't like this. they're not doing this on my account. I don't want to be part of this. But I must say, I'm getting fewer and fewer of those letters. During Prop 8, I got quite a few. But I think self-identified gays or lesbians, people who identify themselves as same-sex attracted, I think it's harder for them now to say, boy, you guys have gone too far. I think it's become, the radicalism of the thing is playing itself out in the public square. And making it very costly for anybody to disagree with. So, if Dan Cathy thinks it's bad that they're being mean to him, what would it be like to be a person who's a Christian, who is same-sex attracted, who wants to live a good, chaste Christian lifestyle? Think about the kind of pressure those guys are under to conform to actually participate in the gay lifestyle. Those young people are under an enormous amount of pressure. So, the fact is, the middle ground is being taken away in all of these issues.
You will find a link to the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is the founding president of the Ruth Institute. Jen, blessings on your It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference coming up later this week, and thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back. We'll do a little sermon review with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Government goes where business fears to tread.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
At the end of last year, the National Institutes of Health made three more lines of embryonic stem cells eligible for federal funding. This came just weeks after drug company giant Geron announced it would abandon stem cell research. While we might hope the drug company did this for ethical reasons, since such research requires the destruction of human embryos, the fact is there is no market for a product that doesn't work. And this type of stem cell research has produced not a single cure, despite funding from big business and taxpayers alike.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.